The Bible asked a question one time, and it asked, could a mother forget her child? Comes back and answers the question and says, yes, a mother can forget his child. You know, I can forget my keys. I can forget sometimes that I've placed my keys in my pocket because I'll have so much other stuff in there. Many other things we can forget. Forget how to get home. See someone you hadn't seen in a lot of years. If, as a child, you may have experienced, baby, do you know me? And you look at the person and you try it with all your might and, I don't know you. And they may, yes, you do. And they keep on trying to talk and you don't remember because I haven't seen you in a long time. As bad or as embarrassing as that can be, it does not compare with what it's like to forget God. Our passage in Ezekiel chapter 22 tonight is a strong indictment on the family that forgets God. Our title is, if the family forgets God, he will not forget their responsibility to him. If the family forgets God, he will not forget the responsibility that they have due to him. And we're going to be dealing with Ezekiel and what was going on with the people in the exile while there were still some still in Jerusalem. But this does not just fit for the people in Jerusalem. This fits for what we call our modern day church. It also fits for each of us as individuals. And everybody in every classification or categorization can get to the place that they forget God. So let's look at this passage and let's pull some of the juice out of this passage and see what's going on. Take me to the first verse, please, Andrina.
Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying.
Again, when a person starts reading this kind of chapter in the Bible, you see the moreover, don't forget what happened before then. You don't forget what happened. You say, moreover, in addition to whatever, the word of the Lord came to me, saying.
Now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations.
And we see in this particular verse, Ezekiel still being called Son of Man, a name that would be given to Jesus. And he says, will you, Son of Man, will you judge the bloody city? Now, you know, a city is made up of people. The city that he is talking about here is the city supposed to be the city of God, not the city of man. A city that God allowed these people to have to put his name on it. And he says, Son of Man, will you judge? Will you adjudicate for me? Will you judge? Will you decide what's going on with these people here? Will you judge it? Will you use judgments, a shafat, to show them what they've done that is wicked? I told Ann last night, if God had asked that question to the modern day church, the modern day pastor, the modern day brother or sister that walks around in a family and say, will you judge the bloody city? Will you judge those that have abominations in their life? What would they say? Well, we ain't supposed to judge. We're not supposed to judge. Hear the word of God is saying that that's the role. Will you be a person that will do that for me? Show them their abominations. In our modern day, people don't want us to show, have our abominations shown. If we are lying, if we're stealing, if we're committing adultery, if we're disrespectful to our parents, don't say anything to me about that. This is why Ezekiel's face had to be set like a flint, because the abominations were of such, God is going to execute his judgment. And seemingly one of the things that God wants us to understand is, I'm going to give you warnings. I'm going to show you to your abominations. Why? Because I'd rather you turn and repent and humble yourself to me. But when you don't, you have to be dealt with. And so The real question is, will Ezekiel do it? Verse 3, please.
Then say thou, thus saith the sovereign Yahweh, the city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come, and maketh idols against herself to defile herself.
You know, that verse speaks a lot. Because when you read it, if you skip over it, you may think, well, what's going on? What's going here is that the time is going to run out. The city has shed innocent blood, and God had already told these people before in the family, if innocent blood is shed, the only way the land could be cleansed is by the blood of the one that shed it, being shed. He said, thus saith the Lord God Adonai Yahweh, this city is guilty, it's in court. This city has forgotten, this family have forgotten about me, they've forgotten their responsibility to me, and now instead of them giving life, instead of them being able to teach people, they are shedding blood. They become treacherous in the midst. But her time may come. And on top of that, she makes idols against herself to defile herself. This family, the children of Abraham, the children of Isaac, the children of Jacob, they are bringing about their own doom because they have placed me far from their mind. And because of that, they are building their own city, the city of man, while using my name. Just like many families today, they call themselves a real family just because they have the same blood or genetic code, but they're not building their family on God's word. God is left behind. We honor the school more than we honor God. We honor our teachers more than we honor God. We honor our society, our government, and God is left behind. He's forgotten. And look at the mess we have. Do we have innocent blood shed? Yes, we do. Do we have treachery? Yes, we do. And yet, when you look at it, all of us as humans are supposed to be family. Bless God forever. Amen. Read some more of the sweetest word of God because he's got much more to say.
Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and hast defiled thyself in thine idols which thou hast made. And thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and art come even unto thy years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen, and a mocking to all countries.
Let me show you something. People say, I don't like the Old Testament. It means nothing to me. Yet this is the same one that when you read Paul writing to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, he tells them, from a child, you have known these holy scriptures that people say are invalid to us today, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, the 16th verse says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and instruction. That's what Torah was, instruction. Instruction in righteousness that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Why do I say that? Because we are saying that the family that forgets God does not forget their responsibility. Here they become guilty of bloodshed. They defile themselves with nasty, filthy, dirty idols. We do the same thing. We even have things we call something an American idol. Why? Because they know we honor celebrities, and we give celebrities passes when they're drug addicts, when they're drunks, when they're adulterers, homosexuality that they practice, and we'll act like these are the people that we should honor because of advantage. We have idols with our clothing, with our cars, or whatever it is, whether it's sports, and God is looking. Can Michael Jordan get more praise and honor back during the days when he playing basketball than Jesus? For many men, yes. He said, but because of this, your greed and the sexuality that we'll see as we move on, you have caused your days to draw near. You have come even to your years. God said, I have made you a reproach unto the heathen, unto the nation, and a mocking to all countries. Do you not see that that's what we are, those that say that we love God or the so-called church. They look at pastors laying up with women and men pastors laying up with little boys and they steal and they said we're going to build a parking lot, but he buys a car with it. You see people, they say you don't have to keep God's law, but you better give me the tithe. So we will let God's righteous standard fall as long as we get paid. We see that within the so-called church, God's word is laid aside and singing, clapping the hands, and soft cliches like the Lord understand and God is good all the time passes for the word of God. And we become a mockery. People make fun of you. Men know that if we want to find women to lay up with, often if we go to the church, we can find all that we want. Men know that if I like men and I want to be with men, if I can sing, if I can play music, I can get me a place either in the choir or direct the choir, and often I can become the pastor. We are mocking. We are mockery. But when the family forgets God, God does not forget their responsibility to him. 1 Peter 4:17 says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. That's 1 Peter 4:17. It says judgment must begin, not should only, but must. This one thing, you know, you can ask a person, do they do what they supposed to? They say, well, I should. And I ask them, why don't you do what you should? Why are you rebellious? It said judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey? Obey is the key word, not the gospel of God. And it says, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? This is the thing that Ezekiel is having to deal with. He's having to deal with a group of people that do not fully recognize that they are not doing what God is telling them to do. And he's having to judge them. And the indictment is laid. What is the indictment? You have not done what I told you to do. And God is laying it out there. He is not playing with these people. He's showing them what the truth of it is. If you will, and I'm going to read the fifth verse, and I want you to turn to something else for me. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27:16 for me. And it says in verse 5, those that be near, you're going to be mocked from those that be near and those that are far from thee, they will mock thee, which are infamous and much vexed. Infamous, that means you have become unclean. And he says, you are much vexed. Verse 6 says, behold, the princes of Israel, the leaders, what you would call the fathers, the ones that you would call in some cases the sons of kings, the ones that are in charge, every one of thee are in thee to power to shed blood. What they're just saying is the very people that are in charge, the very people that are supposed to administer justice and judgment, because they had what is necessary to conduct business. What is that? Execute the death penalty on those that need it. Look at what the word of God say for these people. I say when you forget God, he doesn't forget your responsibility. So let's kind of do a little backtrack to see why God is allowing Ezekiel to make this judgment. Let's look and see why it is that I say when you forget God, God doesn't forget your responsibility. What is it that they were supposed to have already known from Moses hundreds of years before Ezekiel? Start at verse 14 and read down till I tell you to stop, or and we'll make little comments as you go.
And the Levites shall speak, and say unto all the men of Israel, with a loud voice.
I like the way you said loud voice. That was pretty. Go ahead.
Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto Yahweh, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen.
I just want you to see that in verse 3, that's part of the indictment. It says, thus saith the Lord, the city sheds blood, that her time may come, and makes idols against herself to defile herself. They are cursed. This is what God says. And do you think that we can have idols, anything that we put before God, and not walk around and be cursed because some pastor tells us so? See, you can walk around and be cursed and don't know it. Read some more of the word of God, please.
Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, amen.
Verse 7 in Ezekiel chapter 22. Let me read that while she's there. Verse 7 in Ezekiel chapter 22 says, in thee they have set light by father and mother, and in the midst of thee they have dealt with oppression with the stranger, and they have vexed the fatherless and the widow. What is he saying? You have disdained your father and your mother. And Lord knows, in our culture, many times some people don't know who their father is, because their mother or their father, the mother may have seen somebody that she liked, or she needed some money and she laid up with him, got impregnated by this man, this male, that cared nothing about putting his seed in her garden, and got her pregnant and ran off and left like a dog that ran and found somebody in heat and left puppies. And the mother herself, not realizing that you have a precious garden and you allow anyone to come and plant a seed in you, and you don't know if this person is toxic in his nature and in his character, insofar as how vile he could be. You got to know that he's ungodly, because he's willing to take you and use you and not have responsibility for you. And so then the children grow up and have a lack of respect for you. In Israel, with the family of God, it was not supposed to be so. They were supposed to love God. They were supposed to marry. They were supposed to do exactly like God say. But they forgot God. They forgot his word. And now God is showing that I still hold this family responsible for what they were supposed to do. Why? Because all nations, according to Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you start reading in the 6th verse, were supposed to come to them and see that God was of such power, that they had knowledge, that they had laws and statutes that were so righteous that the whole world was supposed to be blessed by the knowledge of God, because the family of God showed what true family was supposed to be. The Reubenites were supposed to love the Jebusites. The Reubenites were supposed to love the Gadites and the Asherites and all of the tribes of Israel. But look at us. Somebody say, well, I'm Baptist and I'm Methodist. Well, we don't get along. And if you're holiness, some holiness feel like we're the only people that God has gotten. What we ought to do is say that we're going to follow God's word, and we're going to honor those that honor God, and we're going to be a family of God, and we're going to start with ourselves loving God and ensure that we have that in our own home. That's the only salvation that I see left for the family of man right now, is to come back and stop forgetting God. Read some more after in that 16th verse where you were. Cursed be the father. I mean, it said it light.
Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say amen.
That's the person that goes and takes something and moves it, like Naboth. Nabal got his stuff moved by Jezebel. Had him put to death because the king wanted his garden. Well, we are the children of God. It was Naboth. Naboth got his stuff taken. Nabal was the fool. Thank you, precious. But what we do, we move stuff. We say, well, this wasn't his, or I found it, or whatever it is that we want to do to take something by trickery. Well, this 7th verse, if you know, we're going back and forth, because I want us to see something. They said, light by father and mother, in the midst of thee, they dealt with oppression by the stranger. What they did in that oppression, they would make the stranger pay exorbitant taxes, almost like paying protection to the stranger. Whereas you're supposed to be teaching the stranger, you're oppressing the stranger. Then you vex, you subdued the fatherless and the widows. So what you have done here, you did not administer justice and judgment churches do the same thing. If you a big tither, if you in a certain family, you can get away with stuff. But if you just a lowly person, or maybe a single parent, and you come there and they treat you as if you the dirt off the ground that has been in the pasture where the bulls have walked, but that pastor or that other person there don't act like that God has forgiven them of the wickedness and the ungodliness that they have, and the family forgets God, the God that wants to see people turn around. The family forgets that we all are supposed to acknowledge God, and what God has to do is come back and let you know you are held responsible for how you act. Read some more of that, please. Verse 17, where you were.
Cursed be he that remove his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say amen.
Read verse 19.
Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow, and all the people shall say amen.
Do you see that that's the indictment in verse 7? You did the right by the father and mother. You treated the stranger with injustice as well as the fatherless and the widow. Could somebody finally get to the place that we treat the fatherless as the people that God wants us to treat them as? Can we remember as a family that we're supposed to be the family of God and can take somebody and love them and show them God's word? I'm not talking about the kind of love we're talking about. I'm talking about the kind of love where we not only judge, but we help. Read verse 20.
Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt, and all the people shall say amen.
Now, and you can go back, if you will, since you're working it with me, verse 8 of Ezekiel 22. I want us to understand, the one to pervert judgment, people don't see that he's cursed. He may look just as good as anybody else. The one that mistreat the fatherless or the widow, he may not be sick, but God said he's cursed. Now, back over here in Ezekiel where we're working from, and I'm only showing you Deuteronomy to show you that when he's judging these people, he's not judging by his own standard. The family's supposed to know the rules of the family. And when we don't know the rules of the family, we walk around and mistreat God and each other. And we have a responsibility before God. Verse 8 says in Ezekiel 22,
thou hast despised mine holy things and hast profaned my Sabbaths.
Now this is a powerful verse. This verse is so powerful that I thought to myself, you know what, Tim, if you would take the time and just show the people what you see in this passage right here, it may take a minute, but I think it'll be productive. Let me see if I'm right. Read that verse one more time, and I want to show you something about what they are doing.
Thou hast despised mine holy things and hast profaned my Sabbaths.
In Psalms 50, the Bible talks about his holy things. Now, I've already said before, Leviticus 26 will teach us how everything is supposed to go and how God lets out, if you defile my sanctuary, how I will treat you. But listen to the sweetness of Psalm 50 as it pulls out not only that verse, but it'll help us make it to the end of this chapter. I mean, we're only going to the 16th verse of Ezekiel 22 tonight because there was so much I wanted to bring in. Read it, Ann.
50?
Mm-hmm, verse 1.
The mighty God, even Yahweh, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined.
God has spoken his voice, and out of the family, the perfection or the completeness of beauty has shined. Go ahead.
Our God shall come and shall not keep silent.
Our God, he's the God of our family, and other people have to come and join to him. Please read.
A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him.
Ezekiel saw that in chapter 1 and chapter 10. Please read.
He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people.
God will judge the family. The family shall not forget God. If they forget God, he does not forget their responsibility. So he uses the heavens and the earth to be witnesses. Please read.
Gather my saints together unto me. those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Those that say they are the family of God, gather the holy ones, the saints, those that have made a covenant with me, and don't let them feel that because they made a covenant with me, they will escape the judgment. I stated we'll have the judgment first and then gather them. Please read.
And the heavens shall declare his righteousness. For God is judge himself.
And the heavens will declare that whatever God decides about your fate, who you are, how you conduct yourself, God is judge himself. Please read.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God.
The family should understand that judgment begins in the family. A father should be able to execute God's judgment in the home. A mother should be able to execute God's judgment because we are supposed to represent God's standard. God said, I'm going to judge. Read.
I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me.
I won't judge you or reprove you for that, although that means that you've done things that you had to get right over and over again. I'm not judging you for that. Please read.
I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goat out of thy folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine.
So anything that you can offer me already belongs to me. Whether it's a bird or offering, if it's a fowl, whatever, a fowl or a sheep, it's mine. Go ahead to verse 12.
If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof.
I just want you to understand that when I let you make sacrifices, it's not because I'm hungry. We're moving on.
Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High.
God is showing the people this is what he wants. He wants thanksgiving. He wants when you promise something to him to pay it. If you're going to represent God, don't just be what you call have words. Let your life represent him. Pay your vows to God. Give him thanks for what he has done for you, even whenever he chastens you or corrects you. This is to have the right mindset of God. But listen to what the sweet word of God say when she moves to the next two verses.
And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
This is the promises of God here. Call on me in trouble. Call on me when you lose your job. Call on me when you're sick. Call on me when you're being oppressed. Call on me when you don't understand what to do with your life. Call on me whenever things are going bad, and I will answer if you're the ones that will glorify me. However, people will teach this part of God and act like God is 100% here, and on the other part, he's not. Well, there are no parts with God like that. He's 100% just. He's 100% righteous. And so verse 16 applies just as well as those first 15 verses. Help me, Ann.
But unto the wicked.
Who are the wicked? Those that know God's will and don't do it. Those that will live in ungodliness. Those that will be arrogant and in rebellion to him and forget about him. But to the wicked saith God.
What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth?
God is saying to the family, why do you speak my name? Why do you speak about my covenant, talking about who I am to you? Why do you put my name in your mouth? There were people when I was growing up, and some of the guys that were what we would call mean, and we don't mean, that were mean, that were aggressive, but boy, don't put my name in your mouth. In other words, don't be talking about me. You don't know anything about me. God is saying here to the wicked, how are you going to tell somebody what's right? How are you going to talk about covenant with me? Why is my name in your mouth? 17.
Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee.
This is the problem with the family. The problem with the family And the problem with the church and the problem with people that say they love God is that we can say that God is love. We can say that I love Jesus. We can say that I read the Bible and tell damnable lies because we don't follow his instruction. We don't really stay in his word. And when someone wants to talk to us about God's word, you don't want that to be your conversation. You want to talk about something else. It bothers you when they start telling you about what you've done to show you your wickedness and your ungodliness. God can't be glorified. And how are you going to put his word and his name in your mouth when you hate instruction and cast his word behind you? This is God's judgment. He says heaven and earth know that this is true. Read some more of the sweet word of God that I love so well.
When thou sawest a thief, then thou consented with him.
Oh, you bought something from him, for that matter. Yeah, you consented. You bought it on what they call the Lolo. Please read.
And has been partaker with adultery.
So you got friends that's an adulterer, and you'll do it yourself. If you feel like it, if you get an itch, you'll go ahead and scratch. And God said, why do you have my name in your mouth? This is the problem with what is called the church. Just like Israel is being mocked, the church is mocked. The Catholic church is mocked. The Word of Faith churches are mocked. We ought to remember as a family of God, we've forgotten him. And this is how we live. Read.
You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frame deceit.
You give your mouth to evil, you'll talk about somebody, you'll slander somebody, and you'll be deceitful and you'll be deceptive to get what you want. Read some more.
You sit and speak against your brother.
You slander your own brother.
You slander thine own mother's son.
Please read.
These things hast thou done, and I kept silent.
But I saw you. Read.
Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself.
And that's why people make this asinine statement. The Lord knoweth, the Lord know my heart. The Lord know I'm just human. Ain't nobody perfect but the Father. When God has told us how to live, when God has told us that man shall not live by bread alone, we feel like it's optional. And you think God's not going to bust the grape, as they call it. You think God's not going to do anything. And God said, you think I'm a man just like you. You think that your cuteness or whatever it is going to stop my hand. And God is, read that again. I just like the way God speaks.
These things thou hast done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes.
I'm going to arrange it in your eyes. Now read this next verse.
Now consider this. Ye that forget God.
You did what?
Ye that forget God.
Consider this, family. People, whoever is listening to me, you that forget God and don't keep him on the forefront of your mind, you think it's being fanatical, no, it's being righteous. We need to have an understanding that we're consciously keeping God in our forefront so that the decisions that we make are the decisions that we're willing to go and meet God in judgment with. Now consider this, you that forget God, lest what?
Lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver.
See, we don't understand that that's the side of God. That's the side they don't want to teach. God said, I'll tear your tail in sunder. I'll rip you from end to end. That thing said, that word, tear you in pieces, is savage. That word is tarath. That's the Hebrew word. Let me read a little bit how that sounds when you read it from Lolita in the call. Tear, mangle, ripping apart soft tissue with sharp teeth with a focus of violent, abhorrent death. Because you forget me. The family shouldn't forget God like the ungodly. Read on.
Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God?
I will show the Yahshua or the salvation of God. Our message is tonight is about the family. The family should not forget God. If the family forgets God, God will remember. He will tear them into pieces. So let's roll this back together in Ezekiel 22 and let's finish this. I know I moved you away from, but I want us to see why and that God has a feeling about being forgotten. He doesn't like it. Read on, precious.
Thou hast despised mine holy things, and hast profaned my Sabbath.
You despised my holy thing. You were willing to offer me the sheep, the bull, the goat, and all of that, but you wouldn't offer me the praise of your lips nor obedience. Please read.
In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood.
That means they carry slander. You shed innocent blood with your mouth. You tell a lie and somebody gets killed because of it. It happened with Jezebel when she lied on Naboth. That's not the only person that it happened with, but I want you to see that these are the things that the family do when they forget God. Please read.
And in thee they eat upon the mountain.
And then that means you go and you serve these idols where we read just a little while ago. Cursed is the individual that makes an idol. How much more they that go and eat and think that we're going to have worship on a mountain, but then they do something else when they do that. Read on.
In the midst of thee, they commit lewdness.
In the midst, they are lewd. They have sexual ungodly acts, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's men laying with women, or bestiality, they would have sex, call themselves making things fertile because they enjoy the feel that it is whenever they get to the place that they have their climax, orgasm, and they enjoy it under a religious pretext, and they don't want to have the fellowship with God that they should have and enjoy Him. So you go in and you enjoy this other idol God that does not live, does not walk, does not talk, does not breathe, and the family forgets God, and so you say, we don't serve idols. But how many people will lay up with somebody and you enjoy you enjoy the ungodly moment with that person, and you still feel you right with God, and you've forgotten what His words say, and one day He'll tear you into pieces, and there'll be none to deliver. We better repent and turn our lives to God if we live in that way. And if we're living the righteous way, why are we not warning people? Why are we not glorifying His name? You think glorifying His name is just singing? It's glorifying His name is putting His word out there so that people can be warned of the wrath to come, that they can turn and receive the life that God has to give. Bless the Lord forever. Read some more, Andrina.
In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness.
And indeed they have discovered their father's nakedness. Do you understand what that means? When we were going through the book of Genesis, we saw a man named Reuben. Reuben's father had another wife or a concubine. And Reuben went up and lay with her to despise his father. When I say lay, I don't just mean lay beside her and went to sleep. He went and lay beside her, and he did the ungodliness. He did nastiness with her. Let me read the Bible, and let me show you what I'm talking about. Genesis 35:22, the word of God said, and it came to pass when Israel dwelt in the land that Reuben went up and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard of it. He said, now the sons of Jacob was 12. Now when he got older and got ready to give blessing to the family, listen to what Jacob said about it. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then thou defiledest it. Thou went up on my couch. Deuteronomy 27:20, that's where we were. It says, cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovers his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, amen. Reuben walked around and didn't look like he was cursed. We can walk around and look like we're not cursed. Because somebody say, you know what? That's my daddy's wife. That ain't my mama. And you lay with her. You're cursed. The Bible says it. Read some more, precious.
In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness. In thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution.
The Bible told us when we read in Ezekiel 18:19, when we were going through Leviticus, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is set apart in her uncleanness. Ceremonially, God was teaching the people to learn the difference between holy and unholy and clean and unclean so that they would learn not to defile themselves. So we should learn, those of us that say, well, we New Testament, learn not to defile ourselves with adulteries, murders, fornications, the things that Jesus talked about in Matthew 15. Well, I could read another one, but it'll say the same thing. Read the next verse.
And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law.
Now, I had in the surah, we're talking about the daughter-in-law. I went and looked in the surah. I'll tell you where it is. It's Muhammad, at verse 37, let me see which surah that is. I didn't lock the surah. I think it's 32:7, but just it's verse 37. Well, they call it surah. It says, "And when thou saidest unto him, unto whom Allah has conferred favor, thou hast conferred upon favor, keep thy wife to thyself, fear Allah." I'm reading from the Quran. I want you to see how when people say it's the same, they don't know what they're talking about. The word of God says you don't lay with your daughter-in-law. And it says, "And thou didst hide thine hand," which Allah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to us, but I'm just reading, okay? "Which Allah bring thee to light, and thou didst fear mankind, whereas Allah has a better right that thou shouldest fear him. So when Zaid," that's his adopted son, "had performed that necessary formality of divorce from her, we gave her unto thee in marriage, so that henceforth there may be no sin for believers in this respect of wives of their adopted sons. For when the latter has performed the necessary formality of release for them, the commandment of Allah must be fulfilled." Now, what we see is the very thing that God has said can't be done. Muhammad wanted Zaid's wife and told him and got him to divorce his wife so he could have her. Why did I show you that? Because I want us to understand when we're dealing with the Word of God, there is nothing that parallels the Word of God. Nothing. Nowhere, ever. And as the old folk used to say, no how. Read on.
"And another in thee hath humbled his sister."
Now that means rape. That word is rape. It's in what is called a P-L, a P-I-E-L. I looked it up. And so I found me another verse where this had happened in the Pa'il. Now, for those that don't know what that means, that doesn't matter. My computer will allow me to take the verb and how it is in the figure of speech, what tense it is, etc. And I can click on it and say, show me where this word is used in other parts of the Bible and you don't use the same word humbled. Here it is. 2 Samuel 13:22. This is a woman named Tamar. He had a sister. And he wanted her so badly that he pretended to be sick and made all of the servants leave, and he raped her. Listen to what the Bible said. "And Absalom spake to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar." Absalom, his brother, is going to kill him for raping his sister.
The word
forced is rape. So here we seeing people that are in the family of God, and all of these ungodly acts are taking place. And I'll read in verse 20, where we were in Deuteronomy, and you'll stay where you are in Ezekiel. It just says, "Cursed be he that lay with his father's wife. He uncovers his father's skirt. All the people shall say amen." Verse 21 says, "Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say amen." Yes, verse 22. Read on where you were back in Ezekiel.
"In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion."
Deuteronomy 27, verse 25 says, "Cursed be he that take reward to slay an innocent person." And all the people shall say amen. Do you understand that justice system, if a man take reward and you let another man off and you get paid, I don't care if you're the lawyer or whatever, they did it their way in that day. God said you're still cursed. And all the people should say amen. "Cursed be he that's a loan shark, taking you for increase, and have greedily gained of your neighbors by extortion, blackmail, etc." It says, "And thou hast what? Forgotten me, saith the Lord God." Do you know what a travesty that is to forget God? It's such a horrible tragedy. I looked at my time and I said, "Oh, Tim, you may have another 8 minutes. So I want to just give you a few verses how God feels about being forgotten." Deuteronomy 6:12 says, talking about the children of Israel when they get to a certain place, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." He's talking to the family. Be careful that you forget me. I'm still going to hold you accountable. Deuteronomy 8:11. Beware lest thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments, which I command thee this day. So when you say that I didn't forget God, but you forget to keep his commandments and his judgments, which he command you to him, it's the equivalent. Verse 14, then your heart be lifted up. And you forget the Lord your God, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. The God that will bring you and deliver you from bondage is the same God that you should not forget as a family. That was Deuteronomy chapter 6. I mean 8. I went to 8 and then 11. I'm sorry. Jeremiah 3 and 21. Listen what the word of God says. Jeremiah is a parallel book for Ezekiel. Jeremiah 3 and 21. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Listen to 13 and 25, Jeremiah. This is your lot. This is what you get. Thy portion, thy measures from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. You trusted the preachers. You trusted the prophets. You trusted your culture. You turned against me, and this is why you're crying, and this is what's going on in your life, because you have forgotten me. And God was very upset with that. I could read more. There's so many of them. I want us to go on and finish this chapter. Take me back to Ezekiel 22 and 12, please.
Behold, therefore I have smitten my hand at thy dishonest gain which thou hast made, and at thy blood which hath been in the midst of thee.
This is what God is saying. Every piece of judgment that I'm giving you right now is because you've earned it. I told you way back during the days of Moses what I would do. You had over around 800 years to get it right, and you didn't. And you're walking around cursed, and you thought I was such a man as you, and I would do nothing about it. Well, I'm here to let you know tonight, I'm going to do something about it. The major question is in verse 14. Read.
Can thine heart endure, or can thine hands be strong in the day that I shall deal with thee? I, Yahweh, have spoken it and will do it.
The family that forgets God, it shouldn't forget God, but if they do, God is going to hold them responsible. And the question is, can your hand endure? Can you be strong in the day that I deal with you? I submit that the Merritt family, I submit that any family that's represented on the conference line with us tonight, I submit that whatever we call the church today, can the heart really endure and be strong when God really deals? When we allow so much to go on and we say we don't supposed to judge? When I supposed to uphold God's standard? When God say, if you forget my standards, you really have forgotten me? We think hallelujah, speaking in tongues, singing a song is praising God, but when a man praises himself, you don't really hear him singing about himself unless he's an entertainer. You're like, baby, you know, I got this so-and-so car. I got a settlement coming in. I got stocks. Look at these shoes right here. These are Bruno Maglie, or if they don't know how to say Maglie, Bruno Maglie. And you begin to see that people, when they praise themselves, they speak about themselves. But when it comes up to God, we've allowed the ungodly, nasty, wretched world to tell us we keep our talk about God private, and we get into this building that we call the church. I submit to you that the Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And you want to praise God. What do you mean a praise team? A praise team? I'm not saying it is wrong, but you better be a praiser yourself. And your mouth and your life need to be concomitant, a coterminous with what God has said. Read the next sweet verse, what God said he's going to do to that family.
And I will scatter thee among the heathen.
I'm going to make you lose everything you got. You're going to lose your property. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your animals. I'm going to scatter you among the heathen.
And disperse thee in the countries, and will consume thy filthiness out of thee.
This is the sweet part. out of all of the things that God said he would do, out of all of the indictments that we see, idolatry, rape, hurting the strangers, the fathers and the widows, the fatherless, the widows and the fatherless, he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to judge you to get that out of you. There'll be some that die, Rudy. There'll be some that will not live again until the resurrection. But there'll be some that see that God doesn't play. There'll be some that see that God will tear into pieces. There'll be some that understand that this is serious business. We're dealing with God. And just because he kept silent for a little while doesn't mean he's going to be silent forever. And they'll repent. And the filthiness will be out of you. And you'll be a reformed family. A family that begins to take the responsibility that God has given them. And I submit to you that that's, to me, up until this point, that's the best part for an individual to lock his mind into. If you realize you've been wicked and ungodly, you have cast God's word behind your back, you shouldn't have his word in your mouth, realize that he will judge, he will bring hard times on you to get rid of your filthiness. That's the love of God that people don't want to talk about. They think God just willy-nilly forgives and that there's no consequence. When you forget God, remember the responsibility is still there from God's vantage point. Read that 16th verse, please.
And thou shalt take thine inheritance in thyself in the sight of the heathen, and thou shalt know that I am Yahweh.
And you will take the lot, that's your lot. You will take the punishment that I give you in yourself, just like Leviticus 26a. When you recognize that's me that's judging you, when you recognize that's me that has my hand on you, then once you get your mind right, and the heathen will know that I deal with you, the heathen will know it, and you will know it, and you will know that I'm the Lord. Would to God that we all would realize that we are supposed to be the family of God, just like Israel was and still is. We have a father. He will not be spurned. He knows how to cut off. He knows how to kill. He knows how to wound and make alive. God's job, and he's told you what my job is to execute righteousness, to execute judgment, to execute loving kindness. My loving kindness is 100%. My judgment is 100%. My mercy is 100%. My wrath is 100%. Where do you want to be on my 100%? Don't forget me. What do you mean forget? If you're going to be in the family of God, keep God's instruction, learn his instructions, live by his instruction. So what if you're going to miss out on fun? It's not going to be fun. Can your fun endure in the day that he deal with you? Can your heart? We don't understand that so many times people get sick, they died, and that God could have struck these people dead because we say they died from natural causes. God has never forgotten how to deal with people. They need to have something to put on the coroner's report. But rest fully assured, if we forget God, look at all the things we'll be capable of. Mistreating the elderly, the widows, the fatherless, taking usury, doing idolatry, laying up with people committing lewdness, shedding innocent blood and supporting those that shed innocent blood. We won't have no care about a baby being killed in the womb. We won't care. We'll feel like, well, it's just the fetus. But we won't care what God's words say. We will despise his holy things. In other words, his true worship, the true sacrifice. We'll despise it. We'll feel like, well, that's for the praise team to do. We'll feel like that we are all right, and people will mock us rightfully so. Would to God that we would have the mindset that this is serious business and that God is looking for a family that will honor him as father. Would to God that we as individuals that make our family the kind of family that would honor God, the kind of family that God can look at and say, you know, this family remembers me, and I'm going to bless this family. People can come and learn about me from this family. If your family won't go along with you, make yourself the kind of person that God can look at and somebody can come and learn from you about God. That's the goal. But what ends up happening is we think, or people think, that's what the pastor's supposed to do. That's what the pastor's supposed to do. Now I'm going to read this last part, and we're going to go into our discussion, questions and answers, etc. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, when God was talking to the family and not wanting them to forget, and Moses was telling them what they should do, I want you to apply this to yourself as an individual. Moses said to the people, in verse 5, Deuteronomy 4 and 5, I've taught you statutes and judgments from the Lord my God, as he commanded me, that you should go in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all of these statutes and say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. Read it this way. You've heard God's word tonight, his judgment and statutes. Do them when you go out and you're among people. Keep God's word and do it. This is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of people. No matter where you are on the job or in your family, they will hear of these statutes and say, truly, this is a wise and understanding person. For what other person is so great and has God so near to them in all the things that you call on God for? And what person is so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous in all of God's law? Take heed to ourselves or to yourself, and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which God has done or your eyes have seen, and they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. That's what their job was. That's our job. Don't forget God. He's holding us responsible. Father, thank you for your blessed word. I know often we think that forgetting you is to not have you in our mind for a month or two at the time, but often we can forget you in the moment when we're angry. We can forget you in the moment of temptation, in the moment when we are lonely, in the moment when someone taking advantage. Father, help us learn to have the mindset that we're walking in your presence and that we are responsible and held accountable to you, and that this world is a world that you've sent us out as a family to be ambassadors that proclaim the kingdom, and the kingdom rules. And not only do we proclaim them with our mouth, but with our life. I ask you to help us all to be faithful to you and not forget you. In the blessed name of your holy child, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen.